Today's Survivor Exit interview is sponsored by Hover.com. Hover makes domain management simple. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here with another Survivor Blood vs. Water exit interview. And this morning we're going to be speaking with Kat Ederson. She is the latest person who is eliminated from Redemption Island. She lost the Trool after she did not complete the puzzle as fast as Laura M. and John. So she's going to be joining us in just a bit, and we'll talk to her about all things Survivor Blood vs. Water. Of course, last night, Stephen Fishback and I had a very fun conversation about the show, the episode, and we debated a little bit about the decision to vote out Laura B, and also much more in-depth on what is going to happen in this game once we get to the merge. So a very fun show, as always, with Stephen. You can check that out at robhasawebsite.com. And then later on today, Big Survivor Halloween Thursday, I'm going to be speaking with Eric Reichenbach, and we are going to talk about everything from this season. I know Eric has some things that he's very excited to talk about. Also, the recently engaged Eric Reichenbach. So maybe I'll give him some marriage advice on, because I am the expert on all things relationships. And as always, we are going to be taking your voicemails on the show as well. I'll be having our old friend Kurt Clark join us. And also, Kurt is preparing a Survivor Halloween game for me to play on the podcast as well. So get your voicemails in at 323-282-RHAP. Or you could go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail. All right, so it looks like Kat is on the line with us. So let's go ahead and patch her in. Kat, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Kat. How's it going?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing very good. Very excited to... I'm not excited to talk to you, but I'm happy to talk to you.
Oh, well, I'm excited to hear from you.
Yeah. So. Well, Kat, you had so much drama on Redemption Island last night over whether or not you were going to switch. And Kat, I know you were very upset to be the one to go home last week. You were very worried about what Hayden was gonna think, and whether anybody was gonna date somebody who goes out before the merge. So, talk about, were you disappointed when he didn't switch with you last night?
You know, I was at that time, but come on, Rob. I mean, he said the famous line, and he said it three times. He said long term. And when I heard long term, I was like, okay, I got this. Because, I mean, ideally, I really wanted to play, and I thought that regardless if he were to come down or I would have went up, he would have done better at this challenge, would have came back into the game, and I would have been fine because I had Tyson, Jervis, and Aris, and I would have been fine. But, I mean, I was a little bit pissed when we got home, and I had those conversations with him, but, you know, it was a lot. It was a lot of crying. I didn't know. It was hard. Very hard, Rob.
Wait, hold on. So are you saying that when he said long-term, you were thinking he was proposing?
I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, he said it three times.
Okay, so that was that an official proposal?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but we're still. I mean, we're still together, and everything's incredible, and we're very happy. But he did say that, though. He said, "Kat." He looked at me, and because when I asked him to switch with me, he goes, "Kat, who do you think will have a better chance of winning this game long term?" And we've made, you know, those deals that if whoever were to win, we could split the money. And, you know, so right when I heard that, he kind of snapped me back to reality, and I, you know, stopped crying, and I was like, okay, I can do this. And if I come back, great. And if not, then I know that Hayden's still okay with me being in this duel, and he's not too embarrassed about me.
Yeah, I don't think that Hayden seems like the kind of guy who's going to be so shallow to not want to date somebody because they didn't make it to the merge on a reality show.
Never. Hayden's, Rob, you know Hayden. Like, Hayden's never like that. But, I mean, ideally, I was just thinking in my mind, like, holy crap, like, who would want to date somebody who doesn't make the merge? Like, that just sucks.
In another world, where you weren't with Hayden, would you date somebody who didn't make the merge?
No.
Yeah, that's right. all right, so last night you seemed to be getting a little upset that Laura Moret was cheating at the puzzle and copying John. Do you think that that's okay? Should survivors be allowed to do that?
You know, I'm so over the cheating thing. Like, you know, yeah, like the thing is that she was in a more convenient spot to look over, but it's Survivor, you know, like who gives a shit? You know, if she, like I, yeah, that really did, that could have, you could say that, I could say and preach here all day to you that that was the reason why I left. Like I could pull, you know, I could pull a Colton Cumby and say, hey, you know, that's the reason why I left because of this, 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 and this. No, like, I didn't cheat, so I didn't win, but I didn't, like, if I was Laura, I would have done the same damn thing, put it that way.
All right, well, let's talk about Colton, because you guys played together on Survivor One World, and then you came back, and you seemed to have a rocky relationship. In the first episode, you were talking about hitting each other with the oars from the boat, and then he ends up walking away from the game. Did you have any idea that he was going to quit?
I did have a feeling that he was going to quit after, I mean, it was just so much. I mean, there's just so much drama and everybody was fighting and we never were winning. I mean, we were always winning and we were always fighting. So it was just a lot of drama. And, you know, I don't know where I was getting really loud in the boat that day and I was, just, you know, trying to get him to paddle and it was just a mess. Like me and him just don't see eye to eye, and you know, I'm okay with it. You know, he's very different than me, and I've never known someone that I can't get along with. But I guess like there is somebody out there.
There's somebody out
really,
there.
Yeah, I just don't. We just don't see eye to eye. And the fact that when I played One World, and I went far into the game, and when Colton left the game, I was so relieved that I didn't have to deal with him then. So when he came back in this game, don't get me wrong, like, you know, in the game, I just didn't want to have to deal with the drama. And it sucks because when he's upset, he reflects on me. And, you know, I'm just like, I'm the person that he'll reflect on. And so that just sucks to be that person.
Now, the other person you played on Survivor One World with was Monica. And now I thought that you guys were probably had a pretty good relationship going into the game, but then it started to come up a lot last week that you felt like, oh my God, Monica, she's so annoying. She's strategizing all the time. Did you guys have a okay relationship and it got worse during the game, or did you really never get along with Monica?
Here's the thing. When you know somebody before you play the game, this is why, like, if I ever play Survivor again, like, I don't want to know anybody or I don't want to know anyone who's going to play, because I had the strongest bond with Monica than anybody else out there before the game. And even outside the game, like, Monica is a really, really great friend of mine. So in the game, you would think that someone that you don't need to confirm or convey how much we love each other, you wouldn't think that you have to always constantly be reminding them. But like Tyson's strategy was of the game was to split up the One Worlders. That's what probably almost everybody wanted out of that game, was to make sure that we all were turning on each other. So the more Monica was being fed things about me and vice versa, the more it was getting us to turn on each other. But I wasn't giving her that much attention in the game because I just always thought in the back of my mind that she knew that I was always going to have her back. So when Tina actually came up to me and said that Monica was over strategizing. So that big conversation that I had with Monica, I was making sure she was okay. I was letting her know, like, hey, like, you know, just pull it back a little bit. Just don't over-strategize too much. Just, you know, calm things down. But little did I know, like an hour before that, Tina threw me under the bus for having a conversation with her. So, I mean,
yeah,
I would just
you
suggest
bring up,
that.
Didn't you bring up that Monica should be the one to go home instead of Vetus?
It's hard to say. I mean, at that point, maybe that was me because, you know, Tina and I were having those conversations because, you know, Tina would come up to me. I needed Monica in the game. It was valid for me to have Monica and Tina. Those are my closest allies. So, no, in my heart, I wasn't ever going to eliminate Monica. Was I just, you know, conversating with Tina? Absolutely. So then when Monica brought me over to ask if I dropped her name, I didn't think it was relevant because I didn't believe that. But that's a great way to get you in trouble in the game, is to talk when you don't need to talk. So I should have just took my own advice and not said anything.
You were just spitballing, throwing things against the wall, and
yeah,
it wasn't even relevant.
Yeah. Like I was never trying to take Monica out of the game, not at that point, because I needed her.
All right, now were you blindsided when you went home in that vote? Did you know that they wanted to keep Vetus instead of you?
As the day went on, right before the vote, I knew. And you can tell. You can tell, by the way, that especially I was on a tribe with one male and the rest are mothers, and except for Katie. But Katie should be like a mom because she's so sweet. They couldn't even look me in the eye, Rob. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you can see it. You can smell it in the air when you're about to get eliminated. And it's like you could read it off their face because nobody will look at you. So it was bad. So I knew I was going home.
Not like Kim. Kim will look you right in the eye and tell you you're safe, right?
Kim is amazing, and that's why she's the best Survivor player, I think, in history. You know, she's so good, Rob. Like, she'll look at you.
I know.
I promise. She'll tell me that the sky is red, and I will still think the sky is red, even though I know it's blue. Like, it just because, you know, I don't know how she does it, but she's good. She's really good.
Now, was she a big influence on you? Because I kind of felt like, as an outsider, I felt like you came into this game and you watched how Kim played, and I know how upset you were when you got blindsided the first time. And I felt like you came into this game and said, hey, I'm going to show everybody, you know, I'm going to play really hard this time. And I felt like that maybe you were playing too hard early on in the game. And then that's why they ended up coming after you.
No, I mean, it's true. Like, I mean, Rob, I mean, everybody has their own agenda when they come and play back the second time. And besides the winners of the game, like, everybody had their own personal gain that they had to come back with. So
you want to change the story.
I mean, like it was a lot harder. It really was. I want to play different, be different. I mean, like, I already changed. Like, when I went into One World, I was really selfish. I was kind of naive. I didn't know. This season, I wasn't selfish and I wasn't naive. People got rid of me because I wasn't trustworthy. That was never a problem with me and Survivor, and I promise that's never a problem with me in life. But if you're going to point the finger, you might as well point the finger at someone who you're not related to, not going to get married to, and you're not in the alliance. So you might as well just point the finger at me because, you know, who else are you supposed to point the finger at? Laura B? I mean, what else is new?
I want to know a little bit more about the dynamics of the tribe of returning players before that there was this switch around. So you're in this tribe, you guys are winning, and then you guys finally lose a challenge, and it looks like it's going to be Laura B, but then somehow it gets switched around, and Laura M gets everybody's vote except for her own. So who makes that decision, and who comes to you and says, hey, Kat, all right, the vote tonight is Laura M? And do you say, what, Laura M, why? So just
honestly,
take us through that vote off.
Honestly, Rob, the whole game changed. Like, the beginning of the game, it was supposed to be the women. It was supposed to be, we all made the vote. The outcast was Tyson, Aris, and I think Rupert, because they all voted against us when we voted for Candace. So ideally, it was supposed to be Colton was still supposed to be in the game. It was supposed to be the women that were going to do well. But as the game went on, the girls started siding with the guys. And so when it came down to a vote, I thought I was always going to have to wait for the girls, because Laura M is a great friend of mine in the game. Like, me and her were hip to hip. But she went on the boat with Aris for like 4 hours. And then when she came back, or like an hour, but when she came back, right before the vote, Aris comes up to us and says, it's Laura M. And we're like, wait, what? So, I mean, Aris is the one that dropped the bomb. But I think that the way I was always looking to Tyson to find out where our vote was going to go. Because, again, like, you know, if Tyson does a vote and everyone starts, it's easier to point the finger at the guys later in the game than it is going to be at the girls if we just follow them for the time being. So I would say that Aris was the one making that decision, and he's definitely the one that eliminated Laura M.
So when, if you had something together with the women and now Artis comes back and he's saying, hey, it's gonna, we're going to vote out Laura M. How come nobody goes to Laura M and says, hey, here's what's going on, that Artis is trying to throw you under the bus? Like, why throw Laura under the bus when you guys had something good going on with her?
I'll tell you right now, because there was not one person that anybody felt that they could trust in the game at that time. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no, I mean, our tribe fought so much because there was so much chaos in the beginning, and there's so much chaos still that nobody felt, like, there was not one person that I felt that my words were going to be trusted. Like, I did not feel comfortable talking about anything to anybody. So that's why we all just stayed quiet. And what we're going to, this season, even like the last season of Big Brother, it's just like follow the leader. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no one's going to make a serious move, because when you make one, everyone gets mad, and that's when everyone turns against you. So nobody was going to tell Laura M anything. And, you know, and that's the worst thing for me too, because she was my great friend in the game. And I was devastated when we got eliminated, Laura M. But, you know, I wasn't going to go against King Aris at the time, because he was the one who was, you know, making the plans at the time.
So it was sort of like, hey, first vote, as long as it's not me, I'm not going to rock the boat.
Isn't it always?
Yeah, well, that's fair. There's a lot of psychology that goes into all these survivor votes that we just don't have time to see on the show. All right. So, Kat, what's next for you? What are you going to work on now that this survivor is over?
Well, I'm graduating college in the spring.
Oh, congratulations.
With my marketing communications degree. And I work at a corporate office for about 5 years at Starwood Vacation Ownership. And I've been doing that big girl job, Rob, for a very long time.
Good for you.
And go ahead.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. And my next, as of right now, like, you know, Hayden and I really wanted to do well in this game so we can have potential to win a lot of money, so we can, you know, someday, like, just be in the same state. I mean, Rob, I could care less if I'm in the same area code, maybe just or just a zip code. As long as it's the same, like, area code, that's all I care about. So we're kind of hoping that we'll move to, like, California and, like, you know, not live together, live in separate houses, but just be in the same area. Like, the longest I've ever seen Hayden was on Survivor, and I never even got to speak to him.
Okay.
You know, so that's kind of where our heads are at right now. It's just, you know, how can we get to this point in our life? And, you know, I graduate and in the spring, and we'll probably move to California and just kind of see where it goes.
All right. Well, we're rooting for you two crazy kids. All right.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Kat, have a great Halloween, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. You too.
All right. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Kat Ederson back here on Rob Has a Podcast. So I mentioned it at the top of the show that this podcast is sponsored by Hover.com. And Hover.com, I mentioned it, is the easiest way to register new domain names. So when you get a new website or you want a website, you need a domain name. And there are other websites you can go to, but they tend to upsell you, and then you get renewed for God knows how many different options. And the great thing about Hover.com is that they are very transparent, and there is not any upselling that is going on. So you just get what you need. You don't have to pay for a bunch of other stuff that you don't want. And they also have outstanding customer service and no hold of phone policy. So you can get rid of all of the annoying things about registering a website domain, especially if you're not a super tech-savvy person. Hover.com is the way to go. You can save 10% on new domain names when you use the promo code ROB, and check that out at hover.com. All right, so we got a very busy Thursday here. So we just finished talking to Kat. We're going to speak with Eric Reichenbach later on today, and that is going to be a very fun conversation as well. And plus, we're going to take your voicemails and hear what all the survivors are saying on social media. So then this weekend, Stephen Fishback and I are going to be having a conversation with Linda Holmes, the blogger at the NPR Monkey See blog. and also the host of the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast. She recently wrote an article about how sexism is slowly killing Survivor. So she is a longtime Survivor fan going back to the beginning. So we are very excited to talk to her this weekend. So Steven is going to join me for that conversation. We're going to do that on Saturday. So I know a lot of other people out there are excited about that as well. And if you hadn't heard this week, Rob Has a Podcast is nominated for 2 podcast awards. So thank you guys very much for all your support. We are nominated this year for Best Video Podcast and Best Produced Podcast of the Year. So that is very exciting. And so what we're going to do is the voting starts tomorrow at podcastawards.com on November 1st. And so if we win a podcast award this year, I am going to put together the first ever Survivor Roast and get some of the good friends of Rob as a Podcast to roast me live on a podcast. So that is going to be a lot of fun in January or early February if we can make that happen. So I always appreciate your support. If you want to go and vote for us at podcastawards.com, you can vote once a day from Friday through November 15th. Okay, hope everybody has a very happy Halloween. Be safe today. And we will be back later on today with Eric Reichenbach. Take care, everybody. Bye.